Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome, everybody, to the Tommy and Hector Show with Loretta Blewett. We are here in the hen house. Hope you're all well in these early stages of 2021. And this is the first podcast of the new year. I was lying on the couch.
It sounds like something an old Gael Gore would say when he's ejaculating.
It's trying to get... He'd be like, oh, stop!
Again, the wanking is back in again.
He'd be lying on top of you.
Oh, yuck, that sounds rotten.
Anyway.
I was lying on the couch last Saturday night and we all got ready and watched the show, Tommy, and I have to bring this up.
Oh, yes.
When we looked at your face when your man walked in with the red hair.
The journeyman.
The eyes. And when we heard that he transported a piece of fire from Norway, well, I swear to God, I said, this is going to be beautiful.
How do they find people like that, you'd wonder, wouldn't they? Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
An amazing young fella, because he just... Now, he wasn't able to tell a short story.
And it went along the really go on.
Yeah, we were a good while there. Like, he was telling us another story that took... To tell us the story about Norway, he had to tell us the story about Peru. And we were a half an hour into Peru and we hadn't even started Norway.
You hadn't even got there.
So, a remarkable young fella. And there was a fair amount of... Now, I did go onto the social media thing, because I don't watch the show, but I would keep track of just what people are thinking about it. And there was a fair amount of slagging of him going on. And I just hope... My sense of it was that it was good crack slagging.
Yeah.
You know, because he was... But I loved him. And I thought it was... Like I said on the show, fellas like that should be... There should be an option on the CAO form.
That was a lovely point at the end. That was a lovely thing you said, because...
But I don't think a fella like him would get too bogged down on stuff on social media. I don't think. He doesn't strike me as someone that would be too worried.
It was just... It was a lot of it was very funny what they were saying about him. You know, the poor fella, like, he took a fire all the way over from Norway to Mullingar and the mother put it out.
Like, I for the audience who saw it, Tommy, and I saw the show, and for everyone listening on the podcast, I have a few more questions about it, because you were trying to get it out. I wanted to know. He said he was down by the harbour and he saw a pirate ship coming in. He went over to your man. Did your man just give him the boat?
Yeah.
No, what happened
your
was...
Your man gave him a job, was it not?
Yeah, he gave him a job on the boat, and then...
Your man gave him a job on the boat to go from one part of Norway to another.
Right.
And then... He wasn't incredibly clear how he got from that part of Norway to Scotland in the storm and who else is on the boat with him. He was trying to... He wasn't able to describe anything from a single point in time. Like, he would tell you one bit of information and then he'd add in something else from another time in another place. Yes. It was hard to follow him. So I had to... In the actual interview, which lasted over an hour, I had to keep kind of... Hang on a minute, where are we now? And who's with you and that kind of stuff. Remarkable.
The most intriguing part was, how did he keep that piece of fire alive?
Oh, in a stove.
In a stove the whole way.
In a stove.
That's amazing, isn't it?
But what was also remarkable was that he was saving up money to... I don't know, did they include the bit where he got the barrel top wagon commissioned?
Yes.
He went to a traveller man and he got the old style barrel top wagons. He got them commissioned. He goes around the country because he's a qualified chef, making food on the back of those for people. And he had to get horse trained in order to be able to walk a horse on the busy roads of Ireland. And that's part of what his whole thing was about, that I did this in order so I could do that. A remarkable young fella. You know,
and he's only young. Was he only 24 or 26?
24, 25, yeah. You know.
When he got to Uisneach, I thought that they would light a massive bonfire because I've been on the hill and it's owned by David Clark, this farmer who's very passionate about that land. I thought he was going to light a massive bonfire, but then they extinguished the fire on the top of Uisneach.
They buried it. They buried the fire. They kind of dug a hole and they buried the fire. So
in Mother Earth, Mother Ireland.
There you go, yeah.
Wow, because that is the epicentre of all fertility in Ireland.
That is a great notion for
him. He had a lovely head on him, hadn't he?
Fantastic. A dreamer, pure dreamer.
Yeah.
You know? And as I said to you before, the GAA coach, sure, maybe he's right.
Maybe he is right.
In terms of the name of this particular episode.
Oh, I've had, it recorded?
I have two suggestions.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
First one, Burren Munich.
Yes.
Yes, we saw that one.
Yes. Yeah, that's a yes, Bayern Munich.
And the next one is Borussia Munster Gladbach.
Borussia.
So which one?
Hector, have you got any?
Well, they are coming thick and fast now, aren't they? It's brilliant.
A bit like myself.
I when I heard Miami Dolphins Barn, I said, we're veering away to another sport. But then when I saw it written on the podcast, Miami Dolphins Barn, it's genius. Good. But there's some really funny people out there over Christmas.
You got another one. What about Real Betis? Real
Betis Town?
No, you see, you're...
Oh,
no,
you see
what I said?
We've got Lurito. Control issues here.
Go on, no, and give them one more. What about this one? Fennet, St. Petersburg.
Fennet, where's Fennet?
In Kerry.
Fennet, you're thinking of.
Fennet, St. Petersburg. Okay.
I don't know.
So, Loretta.
See, your ones are very clever, but there's no crack in them.
Loretta.
Hang on for a second. And how much crack is in your one?
Loretta, do you want to make an observation here, Loretta?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Do as you're told now.
I'm thinking.
Go on, Loretta. Say what you told me when he wasn't in the house.
What did I say?
You're all very brave when Tommy's getting the shade.
What did you say when Tommy went to
make what would you? I think we'll let Hector pick one this week.
Okay, Hector, you pick one.
No, you didn't say that.
Come on. I just
said that he seems to impose himself on us at the start.
He's got control issues. We know that.
Let's have a vote. What was the first
this
one?
This already sounds like a fucking coup d'etat. Yeah.
What was the first
fucking
one?
Che Guevara and
Real Betis Town. Okay. Right. I'll be happy if Real Betis Town is next.
That's because it's me. Right.
Real Betis Town.
Hector, if you have to explain the joke, it's not a joke. Oh, it's a fucking crossword puzzle.
No, but it's a better use of words than
Anyway, who came up with these
Burren
ideas?
Burren Munich is funny. It's short.
Burren Munich.
Burren Munich, yeah.
And that came in this morning, didn't it, from...
Oren,
yeah.
Yeah.
And for a man who doesn't look at social media, he's very off A on these
very
titles.
Very off A. Very, very off A. Are you getting more used to it?
I knew her.
Off A.
Off A, yeah. She was a sister of Darren Faye's.
So how do we work this? See, there's a problem because there's three of us, so I get the deciding vote.
Do you decide, Solarita, yeah.
No, I don't. No, get lost.
For fuck's sake. Anyway.
What's the name of the show?
Burren Munich.
Okay.
Burren Munich. There you go.
Welcome to the show.
I want to talk about heroin.
Sorry. I just said, is the next thing we're going to talk about love? And Tommy said, yeah, kind of.
I think we opened up the Christmas podcast going, I want to talk about hash.
I want to talk about heroin because I've never done it. I've no interest in doing it. But I've always been really struck by the people that you see in the street who have taken it. And how the physical, when people talk about the physical feeling of heroin, they talk about it as in, this fella said to me one time, it was like falling through a bed of feathers. And they talk, it's the, and I would see a fella say on a bit of cardboard in a car park in Dublin, and he's after getting a whack of it. And what I think, I don't think there is anybody on earth who's, interior is in such collision with their exterior. At the moment of at the height of their highness, what they're feeling on the inside, is they're floating, man. Every cell in their body is a fucking gospel choir singing hallelujah. And they've been fucking, their backs are being stroked with gorgeous feathers. There are explosions of pure delight in their bodies, outside of their bodies. They're dressed in fucking rags. They're damp, they're cold on cardboard in the corner of a fucking car park.
Mm.
And there's piss stains and there's half a fucking sandwich on the ground and they're just fucked. So I'm always, but what just strikes me is that the difference between the two, the difference, I don't think, there's no further extreme of it, is there?
Mm. Oh yeah, I know what you mean. From you know, what's inside and what's the reality outside.
As drugs go, it's right up there, isn't it? It's fucking.
But isn't it like getting really, really strong painkillers, like horrendously strong painkillers after surgery, where you feel that
morphine?
That feel of like, you know, like those opioids are like, you know, that's how you feel that again. Like I know I took them after I had surgery on my foot, and you do feel this like, oh my god, like. Just, you feel like you're not, you couldn't possibly be on this earth when you're taking them.
Really?
Yeah.
In terms of pleasure?
Just in terms of having absolutely no feelings whatsoever. Just
morphine,
like no,
morphine.
Just like your brain is overridden by this tablet. And it's a nice feeling to be on them. But obviously they're controlled and you won't.
And maybe the dosage isn't as much as when people take heroin via needle for the first few times. It's just,
I mean,
but like once you go there, you just can't really like. There's very few that come back once they go there, isn't there?
Well, I mean, you'd have to say that. That would be the general. Anybody who has survived addiction would never encourage you to take it recreationally.
Yeah, well, not that.
You know what I mean? And what's kind of shocking is. What's really sad, actually, is when you hear about towns like Galway and the guards making a heroin bust and hearing about heroin in Galway, and you kind of think, OK, Galway was always known for hash, and then, you know, Galway was known for pills in the 90s and the noughties. Galway's, you know, there's always some bad bastard who could get you cocaine. But the heroin thing just seems, it's like, oh, fuck off. We've enough troubles without this arriving in the town.
Every rural town in Ireland has a heroin problem. From Clonmel to Port.
No.
Yes, they do. And I'm telling you now, most county...
Ballina would have it.
Not heroin.
Absolutely. There's a pocket of heroin.
No, I'm not taking that. I don't believe it.
All right, well then...
Castlebar.
No, I don't think it's in
Larita,
small towns.
Larita. Is
heroin.
Westport.
No.
Larita.
Navan.
Maybe Navan. Larita, I don't know anything about Navan.
Larita, it's rampant, unfortunately, in this country, and it's riddled
country.
It's not today, it's night, or prime time on this fucking podcast.
If it's acceptable,
but it is. I'm not saying it's acceptable, but it's there.
Saying if it's acceptable that there's cocaine and this is allowed in, well, it's inevitable that you're going to get to that level.
There's cocaine in Ballina.
Yeah, there's cocaine in bloody Foxford, I presume, but I wouldn't think there's
lovely
people
cocaine.
Taking heroin there, though. There's probably cocaine in Knockmore, like, but
fishing for lovely trout along the river.
But they're like, Charlie. You know, it's a laugh, like, for the cocaine story. But then the heroin is going to come next because some people have addiction problems and they take cocaine and then is it their next step to go? Oh, I want more. I need more from that, or is it a completely different hit for somebody who's?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just saying my I'm just always struck by.
The sadness of
I'm struck by the fucking the power of the trip that the person is experiencing.
It's a magic
and where they're fucking sitting down.
It's as if they're
sitting on
but
a street.
But they're in horrendous pain and they just that's their escape.
Well, like they're home. Like I stayed in a hotel. I'm not going to name where it was, but there's an alleyway that I'd have to use sometimes going into to get into this place. And there was two massive. Industrial dustbins and there was syringes always there and I'd seen it for a long time and then one morning as I was walking by there was two lads in there and they just young lads backpacks and they were stretching the arm and another lad injecting another lad and I just walked along and that is the other side of it, Tommy, because from seeing that there in the back of an alley when a rat ridden behind a massive dustbin, there they were and then 2 minutes later they're on a magic carpet ride to utopia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just fucking mad to think that there is a drug like that on the planet that comes from the Afghani opium fields, from the poppy fields of Eastern Europe, of Afghanistan and places, that it's been on the earth for millennia of years, the poppies.
There's probably more people on prescribed medication than there is on heroin.
Well, you may be fucking sure of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How about the ayahuasca?
What's
would
that?
You like to try it? So the ayahuasca is this plant from the Amazon.
Absolutely.
And you take it in. Now, there's. I know people who've gone to housing estates in Cavan to visit the Belturbet shaman who will take you on a trip. It's kind of like very powerful holy communion.
Well, I've never had a trip on the Holy Communion.
Ayahuasca.
I got.
Like if you
so what is it like, a leaf or something?
I think they boil it down to a liquid, and you take it. Okay, now you have to be in special. There has to be someone minding you, someone who's done it before, someone who'll help you when you start to panic. Some people fly to the Amazon to do it. Some people take the bus to Cavan.
glamorous!
But there are people who will mind you, you know.
And you sit in a house, like.
Well, you sit. Doesn't matter where you sit. You could be in a fucking shack, 45,000 miles from fucking Rio de Janeiro up the jungle, or you could be in the front room of 44 Sycamore Drive, Cavan Town, with all the cushions around the floor and plastic bags on the window to stop the light coming in. And you take it and you vomit. You vomit for a good hour and a half. You're just vomiting. You're vomiting up all your fucking resistance. That's what's coming out of you.
So it just makes you vomit?
No, in the beginning it makes you sick. So you enter.
This is a 14-hour trip. Like, so you vomit for the first hour and you have a bucket beside you and just lip. And then it starts. Then you see things like a tiger. And you didn't even know there were tigers in Cavan. A tiger might walk through the wall and come over and he'll smell you. And you'll be sitting there shitting yourself because you've got a fucking 10 stone, how heavy are tigers?
A lot.
20 stone tiger. It's gone. You're shitting yourself and there's something fucking unreal about the tiger and you look into his eyes and he's got these really small little Marty Morrisseys dancing in them. And then the tiger might lick your face or he might bite your head off. And you got another 12 hours of this. Your body might leave the earth and you go up and you know, stars was talking to you. You'd see the ghosts of everybody you were ever related to. You might see your children's children's children. You might get a vision of Buddha or Christ or Bobby Charlton. You might see great people. You might see great people. And in 14 hours of this fucking trip.
You could be in a forest, a waterfall. You could be anywhere. But you're transported.
And you might have to relive things that you've done in your life that you feel bad about.
But have you control over that?
And relive them.
No, you're tripping now. You really are.
Relive them. And you might be crying and weeping for stuff that you've done. And maybe this is where the shaman comes in and he'll guide you through it and he'll give you a drink of water or a peppermint sweet.
They'll continue to sing in the background. The chanting continues.
This all happens.
But what if you're... Well, I was just going to say, Belturbet, I don't think it makes any difference if you're in Cavan.
46 Montgomery Drive.
I don't think it makes any difference if you're in Cavan or you're in Mexico Forest then. Okay, but that's what happens if you're sitting in the room
it's kind of like
a tiger comes in and the stars are there.
If you're having a pint of porter in Kells is one thing. Having it in fucking Abu Dhabi is another.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, so I get you, yeah.
So a lot of people would say after taking it is that they resolve things. I know this one fella who took it and he was engaged to a woman and he had done the dirt in her and he'd split up with her after that. And when he took his ayahuasca, that's what he fucking went through. He went through that over and over and over again. And I don't know from what perspective he saw it, but he wept. He had a weeping trip. And he said he came out of it a day and a half later and he phoned her and he said, I'm sorry for that. So it has that kind of effect on people as well. Do you know what I mean? That's not just pure tripping.
Does it have to last that long or could you just say, oh, can I have a trip for an hour or... Can I trip for 2 hours?
No, I think you're in
for the big, the long haul.
And do you generally come out of it fixed then if you've gone?
It's an outer body experience. Your mind just.
But like, say for instance, he suffered during that time.
Yeah.
was he, when he came back around and went off out and rang his girlfriend or whatever, was he just fine then? Was it like a psychological?
Yeah, it was kind of like confession. He phoned her and he apologized. Now, this had happened 15 years before. Like, this was an old wound. He was in his early 40s. This had happened in his mid-20s.
Did he feel before he went in that was something that was bothering him?
No idea. He didn't know it was bothering him.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm wondering, yeah.
You have to be, I'd say in these positions, you want to be doing this with friends. You don't want to be sitting with a group of strangers.
Could we get the man from Cavan to come down here and give it to us and then we could do the podcast?
And the three of us in the fucking three separate corners, I'd be weeping. And
I'd be in a shamanic state. He'd be playing of fucking soccer. Leprechaunism. You don't, like, it's pretty...
I don't think I'd like that.
I mean...
What do you want afterwards, though? What if...
People are looking for a revelation.
No, but what would you want to take that again? Or would you want something else then? Or...
I think I know people who've taken it a few times, but it's very popular now. And it's one of those underground movements where you may be sure that you could get a phone number off someone you know that would put you in touch with someone who can get you ayahuasca.
In Cavan.
Anywhere.
I often thought, I've been with a shaman a couple of times on my trips in South America, and I've been blessed by shaman in different places, and
have you seen
taken
this
different
thing?
Medication or potions that they've made for me, because I've asked them for specific requests, but I've never taken the ayahuasca. But I would prefer to take ayahuasca deep in the Colombian jungle or in Peru or the Amazon than take it above in 46.
What
Montgomery
if a monkey
Drive,
started to
because I don't
you?
Know if it's full. I don't know. Are they importing the ayahuasca? Is it 100% pure?
Who's
I
getting mean, it? That's the thing. Who's getting it?
And is it an ayahuasca plant or?
Yeah.
It's a special herb and they mix it up. But it's an ancient Aztec, Mayan, yeah. Indian. They've been
it's probably basil
thousands of years.
You get here.
Thousands of years they've been taking it in South America for journeys. Imagine you're soaring up over the jungle. You become a bird and off you go then for 12 hours.
Did we take magic mushrooms one night and end up in the... Bar.
I never liked magic mushrooms. I always felt about 12 people on each shoulder dancing on top of me, pushing me down.
Do you not remember that? We took magic mushrooms one night and we ended up down in we ended up in a bar, the old Punchbag Theatre. The front of Jesus. It had they turned it into a kind of a music night.
Yes.
And we ended up there talking to two fellas from in and around the Meath Louth area. And you convinced me, and I was fucking convinced, I had to go up and talk to the guy who was running the club to get these fuckers out, that they were two gay IRA lads who were having an affair, but were run out of Loud by the IRA for being gay IRA. And they now...
This is while you were eating the mushroom, or while you...
They knew that we knew, and they were going to kill us. So I had to go up to the fellow who was running the night.
You did not.
I fucking did. I said, listen, look, you're not going to... Them two boys in the corner, they're two gay IRA lads and they know they've been kicked out of Dundalk for being gay because you can't be gay in the IRA. They don't like it. It just
see them two boys.
It just complicates things. It's one thing going out into the jungle. The two boys talking to Hector, they're gay.
What happened?
And they want to kill us because they know we're gay.
What?
That's what I said. Do you remember that night?
What happened? Did he do?
He just looked at me in a very kind of tolerating way and he said, thanks, Tommy. I will keep an eye on that for sure.
Those were the days when people used to go out to the Galway racecourse in September and October.
Oh, that's right.
The Galway racecourse would be fucking...
Young, damp people.
Plastic bags at Dunn stores.
Mushrooms.
Looking for magic mushrooms. Yeah,
pitch and putt clubs all over the country. We've gone through it now, September, October. I was at a birthday party of a lad out in a castle outside Galway there a couple of years ago. We stopped the van, you could hear. Walked in. It was like walking in. It was just amazing. There was fire eaters and dancers and vampires and multicoloured and neon lights and the castle lit up and there was big, massive, all the electric picnic heads were them, body and soul. There was a couple of hundred people. They had this old ambulance with the side of the ambulance open and the decks inside. It was brilliant. Loads of characters. 3 o'clock in the morning, met these Spanish people. Hola, ¿cómo estás? ¿De dónde eres? Stand at the back of the dance floor. And your man goes, somos aquí por los mushis, por los fungis, por las setas. That's what they call it in Spain, las setas. And the Spanish love magic mushrooms. And they believe that Ireland is the epicentre for magic mushrooms in the world. These two lads showed me what they had. I said, ¿Tienes setas? Do you have mushrooms? And they went, sí, venga. Went round the back to the car park where the cars were parked at the back of the castle. I'm not joking you. They had a Micra, a 191D Micra rental car. and your man opened the back of the rental car and took out a quilt, like a double bed quilt, and opened it. I'd say there was about 20,000 mushrooms stuck with the moisture to the inside of the quilt. Mm-hmm. It was like opening up a Fort Knox bullion gold. It was, he just pushed it out and he put it on the bonnet of the car. There must have been 25,000 mushrooms there. And they had come from Spain. Por las setas.
Now, did they pick them or did they buy them?
Picked them, Tommy.
They picked them here?
Yes. And they were driving around Ireland, going to parties.
Selling them?
No, having great crack themselves. It was a ready-made pharmaceutical thing in the boot of the car. They had their mushrooms. They stuck to the mushroom with the natural moisture stuck to the inside of the duvet. And he opened it up and it was just like, ta-da.
And did you take a fishful?
Actually, we took it. We took a blast and we went back into the mushrooms, no. I don't like mushrooms. Mushrooms, no.
I took some in Amsterdam and I laughed for a solid 4 hours. That's all it did to me. It just made me laugh about everything. And this woman came up begging and she was looking for 50 cents and we ascertained that she was 50 cents mother because we just kept telling her she was so the poor woman. Now we did give her money, but we were just laughing so much. Laugh.
Mexican mushrooms.
My friend was in Thailand and you know those full moon parties that give you magic mushroom shakes, and she said she had a full one by herself and she said she really shouldn't have, and she just got completely lost and she was walking down this beach and she was like absolutely out of it, and she saw this fella, she met this Irish fella and he was shifting a dog. And he thought he was shifting a person, but she said it was the worst.
Like, how would you shift it? Like munging? Like was he up in the back of it or?
He was lying on the beach. The dog was doing the
work. French kissing the Labrador.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me. I took as Bill Hicks would say, a heroic dose of fucking acid one night. And I was walking around Galway and I felt, do the moving floors, you get it, what are they called? Travelators.
Yeah, escalators, felt, yeah.
No, these are on the ground.
Oh,
the
yeah,
land.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it felt like the whole city was a fucking travelator. And I was like ice skating.
You were stopped and it was moving.
I was ice skated all the way from Air Square down to fucking, I was living in a house in on New Road. And it ended up bad now. It ended up bad because I made the fatal mistake of going into a room by myself and I had a tape of the soundtrack of The Last Temptation of Christ by Peter Gabriel. And I put that on and I couldn't take my eyes off the fucking wall for a day now.
And you were roaring, right?
I was just fucking tripping out on this because the Last Temptation of Christ is all about the devil and the fucking Palestinians and I never took acid again.
Yeah.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Back in the day, it was strawberries, sheets and
microdots.
What were they?
The tips of the nibs of a pencil.
Yeah.
That's all it took, a nib of a pencil, and away you went for days.
Did you have trips, Aaron Nilon?
Ah, look it. Everyone has a trip on the island, Tommy.
Hector used to have a pair of denim dungarees and long hair. Like, do you remember Leif Garrett? Do you remember Leif Garrett? He was an actor. So I've memories of meeting Hector with long curly hair down to his shoulders, denim dungarees,
Stone Roses t-shirt,
and a Stone Roses t-shirt, and living out in the island.
Look, I went to the Aran Islands and I went on a journey, and the journey took 16 months to find myself. I had to just fish and feel the air and the breeze. I was in Sunsplash Cottage. And I used to, it's funny that that cottage we lived in at the old quay in Inishman looks straight out at the village of Inishere.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
the magic mushrooms, anyway. Magic mushrooms. I mean, those two Spaniards had came to Ireland in a rental car because we are the epicentre of it. And I'll never forget that image when he opened up the quilt.
Mm.
It's like a mum coming in going, I made you pavlova for Sunday dinner. They were in their element, Tommy.
But I suppose
their element.
But isn't the, you always hear of people who didn't come back from them trips.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, how do you know which mushrooms you
who
can...
got fried, some of the neural pathways got over-fried.
Yes.
Like, you know...
And no more than what poutine or too much whiskey
and
can...
And how do they react then?
They wouldn't be fit for stuff, and there might be people who'd end up in psychiatric hospitals.
Right.
You wouldn't be fit for much, like you'd be frazzled. You'd have singed a few of the wires in your head and there's no repairing them. Joe the electrician cannot fix you. What you need is a safe place with safe food and safe people and no stress.
And
no shifting dogs.
No shifting dogs or nothing, just safeness. That's all you need.
So there's a new Finnish, or it's not a new thing, but it's a Finnish tradition, right? And it's called pantsdrunk. It translates, it's a Finnish word, but it translates to English as pantsdrunk. So basically what the Finnish people do is they sit at home and they drink in their underpants. They get drunk in their underpants and they send like little pictures and little emojis to each other. And instead of like...
Is it a horny thing?
No, I don't think so. So I thought because now we're all going to have to be at home that we should embrace this tradition in Ireland. I was thinking you might come up with an Irish word for it. Pantsdrunk, right?
Mm-hmm. Pantsdrunk.
Is basically, so, you know, in Ireland we have a tradition previous to COVID where we would drink at home and maybe go out afterwards and people would get too drunk. Whereas in Finland, they just sit at home, take off their trousers, sit in their underpants.
The women are down to their underwear, are they?
Yeah, send a selfie to their friends and say, have a drink with me at home in your house. Get involved.
That's so remarkable. So and it's not horny.
No, it's not horny.
There's nothing wrong with just getting down to your underpants. There's nothing sexual with that, Tom.
With your underpants, like.
You're in your underpants. You're in boxers, Penny's
so
boxers.
What could we, to put an
we
Irish
could call
twist
one
on
called
it.
Boxer Orgy.
you see, you're just.
Yeah, I'm
it
only
in.
Joking, I know.
So how could we.
Well, first of all, seeing a load of Irish people in their boxers and their jocks.
Tonged.
Cocks.
Tonged.
But don't encourage people to put them on and say.
Yeah, because everyone has a tongs in their
and
house.
And they have little emojis on their phone, you know, like your little man there, Tommy, that you have. They've got little ones with men in their own, like an underpants one for men and a beer. And they've got women with like a gin and their bikinis.
But how many people in Ireland would be happy if you go to your mate's house and a dinner party and the boys... And
no, but this is a separate thing.
You don't do it together.
You don't go to... You
so
don't,
you're with
we
your
don't
wife.
All go
you're
to
with
our
your,
house.
Your wife is in her bra and her knickers, sitting on the couch.
You see the weather...
Nothing traumatic there for the children coming into the room.
No.
It gets dark, you see, obviously, early in Finland, they've less light and that's what they do at night because they can't go out and they don't have money, like, you know, big social events and blah, blah, blah. In some
and
parts
is it popular?
Of it. Yeah. So I was reading it in the New York Times and they were trying to, you know, get Americans into it now because of COVID. But I think here in Ireland, we should like have our own version of it
my
here.
My question, who are they sending the photographs to?
To their friends. Like, so instead of going to the pub with their friends.
Yeah.
Right.
But that would just develop into
you're right.
Wank.
It's a wank fest.
No, you're... Seriously, like
it's fucking.
So the minute you put your underpants on, you're compelled to have.
No,
that's
but what about?
Well,
look at Orla's after sending the photo. She's above in the bungalow. Look at her. Look at this.
I have another question. This will lead us on to something else. I have another question about that in a second.
But girls, like you can't think that. How can some?
You'd get a fright if you saw some people in their bras ears.
It's one thing if a fella in his boxer shorts or his jock sitting there having a beer. We've seen them in. Which is a million times.
Homer Simpson.
Some of them are great and some of them aren't great. What about a girl who strips down to her bra and knickers and then she starts sending photos going, having a little bot glass of Bailey's here. How are you?
Stop, that's
oh, look, I've spilt it all over me tits.
There's a Guinness all
just going to have a little gin and tonic here.
Oh, yeah.
How could you, pants drunk. See, so the finish maybe...
Because they're not as sexually repressed as we are.
We have to turn everything into sex.
Ireland is thrumming with sexual energy. So any hint.
So the minute you've
got
your underpants on, you feel like you cannot. There's so little a barrier there that you have to put your hand into the underpants and start.
If you send somebody a photograph of you drinking in your bra, you may as well be saying, "Come round to the house and ride me now." That's the fucking truth of it.
And a fella in his jocks. You'd filthy prick.
No. You're
a man would only be drinking in the jocks after he had the ride. Anyway, do you know what I mean? There'd be a post-ride photograph.
Stop.
You're like, fuck on right. I got all good tonight, boys.
Hey, can I just say that was one of the nicest adjectives I've heard on the show so far.
What?
Thrumming.
It is.
Ireland is thrumming.
With sexual energy. Because
so how would we put our own spin on that? What would we have to do to make it non-sexual?
I don't know how we could get away with that. Should we turn everything
into... You could wear your O'Neill's football shorts and...
Still, but it's the women taking their clothes off. You can't get...
You just won't be able to cope with... Would you just be able to get pictures from men then, if that was...
That'd be more disturbing. If one of the neighbours sent me a photograph of... Say there's the fiercest fucking Icelandic storm landed in the country and the wind was whipping around the fucking houses and tons of snow falling around the place. We're all locked inside for 3.5 fucking months of shit weather and I got a picture of one of the neighbours in her bra and knickers. Sure, for fuck's sake. I just call round to see...
Have you a Phillips screwdriver?
No, you couldn't do that in Ireland. We're too repressed.
But why are we so repressed?
Why? Well, because sex is chaos. Sexual energy is chaos.
But why are they not like that in Finland?
Maybe they just have a much healthier attitude.
I think
there's
more of an openness up there.
Is that a Catholic church thing? That's why we're repressed.
I went to a swimming pool in Helsinki where you swim in the nip.
Inside? In the swimming pool or
outside? Yeah, yeah. It's a nip. It's a swim in the nip pool.
I wouldn't like that.
You know, and? So it's very famous. Like, so what you do is you go in and you just fucking strip off men and women and you're just fucking...
But there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
You're just swimming behind one another.
Hairy balls.
The funny thing was, like, the fella, I was swimming behind this lad, right? And, like, if you're doing the worst thing, it's awful to get behind a lad doing the breaststroke, because what happens is if you're doing the front crawl, the two legs are together and you're just going to
or the butterfly.
But when a fella's doing the breaststroke, he kicks the two legs.
That's the butterfly. That's the butterfly. That's the butterfly.
And you can see
the breaststroke is this. That's the butterfly.
Oh, here we
the
go.
Butterfly is when he opens his legs and you can see his legs.
Hector. The butterfly is the one where the two is like the front crawl where two arms go at the same time.
Yes.
The breaststroke is when you go out like that in front of you.
Oh, and he kicks his legs out
like a frog.
Like a frog. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So what happened was that I was doing the breaststroke behind this lad and my head going under the water coincided with his legs kicking out and all I saw was this fucking octopus of a fucking ball bearings and... just fucking hanging down in front of me. And so what happened? I was head down in the water and your man's balls and Mickey were just fucking dangling in front of me.
That is disgusting.
I was lifting the head up and going, ah, for fuck's sake. Did you ever fucking... I can't cut it off.
Oh, they're doing his lens. So on the lens.
If you had a pool in Ireland where people were swimming the nip, they'd be fucking...
We can't.
They'd be fair.
Stop.
There'd be a guy standing at the end. Yes.
You wouldn't get it at Croke Park, the fucking crowds would be gathered around the side of the pool. pulling themselves asunder. Yes.
While the women are doing a backstroke.
We can't even have a nudist beach. It's always every summer. Oh yeah, that's turned into a nudist beach there now. Like, we can't deal
with...
When
the Irish go on holidays and they see naked people, it's absolutely offensive.
Irish lads on the beach in Spain to see a pair of tits.
They set up camp beside her.
It's gone WhatsApp to fucking 600 different capital cities all over the world within a minute.
But the fact that we're kind of slightly sexually repressed, I think, is probably... It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. I mean, sex is probably more exciting to us, and there's more happening in sex when two Irish people get together. People who are very relaxed and casual about sex mightn't be... it mightn't mean as much to them, you know. We're like starving people getting a burger. You know, you're fucking hot into
for the first time.
Yeah. So you haven't eaten in 3 days, then someone gives you a fucking Big Mac and you rip open the fucking box and they just... there's fucking sauce all over your mouth and your fingers are all gimpy with fucking ketchup and onions, but you're... and then you're fucking... You're there just rubbing your stomach off. You're rubbing your stomach off. Covered in crumbs and stuff. Get your phone, fucking snap that. Look at that. Fuck it.
What's it called again? In just one more time.
Pants drunk.
No, yeah, I wanted to bring up at the start of this, when we were talking about your man that brought the fire from Norway, I was there, imagine what could I do? What would I bring as a sacrifice? And I said, I'd take a bag of chips from a chipper in Navan and bring it all the way down to a chipper in Dingle.
But you see, you have to have the vision, Hector. So you have to, and you have to be open to the vision, and you have to not, you know, these daydreams that come into your head and we dismiss them. This young fella got one of them fucking daydreams, but he didn't dismiss it.
I know that, and I really love that.
And
I
appreciate
that.
He opened himself up to the power of what he thought.
What he could do.
And he just went, this is mad. This is, do you remember the bit in Indiana Jones where he's standing on the fucking cliff edge and he's to walk across to the far side and the rocks are so jagged that he can't see the path. But when he steps off the ledge,
the path opens.
The path becomes obvious.
Yeah.
No, I know.
That young fellow was like that. You know, he was just incredible.
He was driven by.
But what would you do as a sign? Would you bring a size 5? Would you solo a size 5 football from the clubhouse?
No, you have to have. Look, I'll tell you. You have to have the vision of it, and you have to wait till the vision of it comes to you, and when and if it does, like. A friend of mine, a friend of yours too, Hector, you'd know him, walked one time from Navan as far as Castlereagh, left the house, just didn't tell anybody. Fucking.
And a man of sound mind and head and body.
Well, why did he go to Castlereagh? Like?
Because that's where his grandparents were buried. And he walked from Navan to Castlereagh to visit his grandmother's grave. Now, isn't that a fucking remarkable?
Wow. Yeah, remarkable.
How did he walk the whole way?
He walked, but wait till you hear, he walked the whole way. And he must have been in a certain frame of mind when he left the house to allow himself to fucking do that. Mightn't have explained to his wife and children where he was fucking going. You know, maybe they were kind of half worried about him. Maybe he left word, said, I'd be gone for a few days. Maybe they thought he was going for a drive.
And he was sound of mind and body and soul.
He walked. He only had the clothes on him and his wallet. He cut his finger on some bushes the first day. And he bled a little bit and he ended up wiping it on his trousers and his shirt. So he said he went into Penny's and he bought a full fucking change of clothes. Socks, jocks, shirt and trousers. And fucking got the new clothes, put them on, threw the old clothes in the bin and he walked to Castlereagh. So what's happening to you there is you're kind of walking into a state of mind. A state of mind that you can't access in your car. You're 3 days on the road. You're in your own imagination. And then the further you walk, the stronger it's becoming. This world that you're in. You went into the graveyard to visit the grandmother's grave. There was an owl lad. This is a fucking true story. Owl lad comes up to him. What grave are you looking for? He gave your man the name. He says, oh, I went to school with her daughter. I know well where she's buried. Took him over to the grave. Oh, yeah. They got chatting. And you're not from around here, the owl lad said. He says, no, I'm from Navan. And the owl lad said, oh, Navan, yeah, I've never been. Did you come via Athlone? And my friend said, no, I didn't, I walked. And your man goes, you did not, you did. I did.
You walked from Navan to Castlereagh. I did. It took me 3 days. I fucking walked it. And the old lad is fucking blown away by this. He doesn't know who he's talking to. What kind of a strange man does something like that? And then he says, the old lad says, imagine this now. He says, you might do me a favour then, will you? And my friend goes, what? And he says, keep walking. Will you walk from here to the Basilica in Knock and go into that church and say a prayer for me? And whatever state of mind my pal had walked into.
He didn't.
He said, I will. And he spent a further 2 days walking from Castlereagh to Knock and went into the fucking Basilica and said a prayer for the man he met in the graveyard. Now, that's the type of thing that people need to know about. That kind of act is still possible in Ireland.
And when was this?
This is about 7 or 8 years ago. We live in a country where stuff like that is still possible. You know, where we have...
There's an ancientness to it, isn't there?
That part of our mind hasn't totally fucking closed over.
Yeah.
You know? So when that young fellow was talking about, I had a vision that I had to take this fire from Norway to Uisnech. Part of us, it makes us laugh and makes us a bit giddy and we slag it because we're not entirely comfortable with it. But part of us fucking understands that that young fella is one of us. And one of us is capable of that type of fucking dreaming. Because he's one of us.
Yeah.
And being Irish... That part of your brain never closes over.
It's almost like having it's an experience. It's an he's gone into an experience that nobody else could have. It's incredible, yeah?
I'll tell you another strange story.
My mind blown open.
And that's a true story. And me and Tommy know that man.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know that
man. Did they think
you
went
missing or
anything?
Well.
Well, there was no mention of that when he was telling the story.
He wouldn't have told many people he did it now.
Yeah.
He didn't look for any publications or any, Navan man walks to Castlereagh. He just did it.
I'll tell you another short story now that will... just the dimensions of Irishness. We were drinking one night. Wicklow or Waterford, one of them fucking www dot places anyway. And it was after a show and we were in this kind of a wagon wheel type of a bar, kind of a Western fucking influence on it, you know. And we got, myself and all me fellow banditos were there and we were having a few fucking pints and people were coming over and there was a young one. I'd say she was about, now young ones are always coming up to me. Young ones are always fucking, you know, and they think, oh, can I get a photo taken with you? And it's fine putting you throw your arm around them and they snuggle up to you for the photograph and then they turn to you and say, oh, my granddad thinks you're hilarious. But so there's this young one there, she's from Newry, she has that kind of Newry and she's like, her hair is almost purple black, you know, and she's got beautiful white skin and she's kind of she seems to be making more of an effort with herself than anybody else around, you know, she's extra good looking and she's kind of extra fancy and do you know what I mean, and she seems, she's fine, like, you know, but I was just aware of this, as aware as I am of everybody else in the room, you know. And people are fucking drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and she's starting to show off more and more and more, you know. And it's just this fucking strange fucking kind of spirit drink confidence about her. There was a pole near the couch where we were fucking all sitting, one of these kind of fucking horseshoe shaped couches, and there's a fucking pole there, you know,
like for pole dancing.
I think it could have been, maybe it's a structural thing, but it wasn't that fucking thick anyway, is the main thing. Next thing, she fucking climbs up on it and she starts doing fucking pole dancing on it, right? And she's like, look at me, look at me. And she's fucking, she's eyeballing me and she's fucking doing all this. And she's not a bad fucking pole dancer. She's a bit fucking steamed, like, but she's not bad. Next thing, she falls off the fucking pole, right? Onto the couch, right? She falls back, she's laughing. And she gets up. Her hair stayed on the couch. And it was, I swear to God, my memory of it is even the fucking music stopped. The creator had alopecia.
Oh, right.
Right. And she just fucking, in that microsecond, all of that confidence just fucking disappeared. There she was, looking, a woman who would look at herself in the mirror and be struggling with that particular ailment, is able to fucking put on a show.
A show, yeah.
And has the fucking hair and everything, and she just fucking, she started going, she started screaming, Jesus, Jesus. And she must have been like a born-again Christian from Newry. Because I'm going to hell. The devil has got a place for me in hell. I'm going to burn in hell because I'm a dirty girl. I'm a dirty, dirty, dirty girl. The poor thing, like, she was fucking, like...
She was screaming at herself.
Yeah, just screaming, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I'm going to burn in... So some of these Nordy fucking evangelicals are out there with the fucking fundamentalist Christian heads in them, like, and they, Jesus says this and Jesus says that, and the Lord God Almighty will raise you from the dead on the third day. And she is just full of this, I'm going to hell. I'm going to burn in hell, hell, hell.
Oh my God.
So the other women, other women just took fucking care of her, and you know, we were all staying in the same hotel, and they, I guess, they just fucking, as everybody wanted to do, was to make sure she was all okay, right, you know, and that. But she'd set herself up, like, it was the fact that she was putting herself on parade, and then that's what fucking happened, right? So, the following morning, we're all checking out of the hotel. I go down to reception. And it's about 11 o'clock of a bright fucking sunny Sunday morning. And I see her there with her pal. And I have to walk past them to get... I would have fucking just...
Gone.
Not wanted to remind them of what had happened the previous night. But I had to walk past them. So I had to fucking say something. And the closer I got, I saw that the wig was fucking on her, right? But it was all fucking...
Not the wrong way.
It was all lopsided. Like like it was just fucking...
Dishevelled.
The wig.
Yeah, like anyone's hair after a Saturday night out.
Yeah, she just hadn't put it on right, and it was kind of half... just half all over the place. So I went up and I just says, well, how are y'all? And she looked up at me with the fucking hair. And she looked up at me, the sparkle back in her eyes. She said, that was some fucking crack last night, hey. And that's...
The beautiful end of it.
That's the kind of the spirit of Irishness. Is that you? Something awful can happen to you. But the following morning, you're able to say... just able to fucking bounce back and go... And I swear to God, knowing what had happened, and the wig fucking on... half sideways and backwards.
And you didn't do a Larry David on it and say, you know, fix.
And she just said, that was some crack last night, hey. So it was beautiful. That's all from us this week, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you've enjoyed this week's show.
So whether you're listening on the way to work or on the way to bed or out for a walk.
Thanks for subscribing, everybody.
And we hope you'll mind yourselves over the next, let's mind each other over the next month or so. Tuair Éire, as they say, and Fáilte amhaille. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.